Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, that is the general mood of the show today. This is quite a Monday, isn't it? Red Wings can't lose. Pistons can't lose. Tigers spending money. Enrico jinxing Michigan State basketball. No, I'm only kidding. We have a lot of ground to cover, so we're not going to waste time. I want to get into the Jack Flaherty stuff to start. Then I want to know what you're going to do when she's moved on. She is the Lions, and she's pregnant with someone else's baby, which means you better find something else to do with your time. It's called Red Wings, Tigers, Pistons, and who you're falling in love with. 4 o'clock, I'm going to offer you something I haven't heard all day on this station, a nuanced take about Luka Doncic. And we're going to party. Got an NBA blitz to do with major trades. We got a football blitz. A major superstar has demanded a trade. But I want to start with Flaherty because I think, bar none, this is Scott Harris's best movies ever made. And let me explain before people are like, well, wait a minute. Hear me out on something.
Wait. But I thought you hated Scott Harris.
I don't hate Scott Harris. I'm really like the way they choose to build their team. But with the Jack Flaherty move, Mr. Rico L. Beard, I think, A, it's a one-year deal. So don't get lost in the sauce. It's 25 in year one, 10 in year two with a player option. If he's good, he's opting out. If he's bad, you're stuck with him. Risk it, biscuit. I'm good with it. If he's good but you're bad, you could trade him, and this is why I want to salute Scott Harris in this regard. The trading of Flaherty, which one person on this station, not affiliated with this show, had some weird nervous breakdown about. The point is, you got Sweeney, and you got a top 100 prospect out of it, only to bring Jack back and not have to sign him to a five-year deal. I said last week when we talked, I said, this pitching staff is not insulated enough. Remember we said, I don't ever want to look at pitching chaos.
Yeah.
Well, Maeda and Mize and Olsen. You're talking about injuries. Cobb. Mm-hmm. Getting Jack Flaherty back, you're running out in a three-game set. You're running out Tarek and Jack Flash 1-2. This now allows Jobe to develop at a different curve. Mm-hmm. We'll see you middle of the season, Jackson. This allows for an injury. But here's the biggest thing for me. This is where I want to know if you, looking at you, Founders Day, you, looking at you, Kenneth, and you. Yes, David, you. I'm looking at you and you, the people. I think the Tigers actually graduated by doing this. Do you realize you have the top payroll in the AL Cialis, a.k.a. AL Central, right? The AL Flaccid? You have the top payroll now. Do you know with this signing you cracked the top 20? You're sitting at 17th. You know my rules. If you don't have a league average payroll, you cannot win a World Series. Look, they're never going to do it the way I want to do it. So I can either sit here and be pissed, which I haven't done all offseason. I didn't love the Cobb thing just on basis. I didn't have a problem with Torres. It's cheap. It's 1 year. Don't ask me to salute it, but it's fine. The Canely thing, I didn't have an issue with it. I sure as hell don't have an issue with Flaherty. Here's my thing. They're one move away from being a World Series caliber team. They're one move away payroll-wise. They're one move away with a bat. See, this is where I think if you brought in Bregman, as risky as it might be, I think all of a sudden Tiger fans, the light switch flips on and you go, we're winning the Central. That as fluky as last year was, and make no mistake, when things happen once every 50 years, it's a fluke.
Yes.
We're actually just good now. So, look, it's a tip of the cap. And again, if we're going to bitch when Chris doesn't spend, no, it's not the $200 million, you know, Corbin Burns, Max Fried type thing. They're not going to do it that way. I've let it go. I can't do anything about it. But what I can tell you, they've gone out, they added Alex Cobb. Do I like him? Not really, but he's going to give you some innings. They added a reliever who's really good. They added one right-handed bat. And now they've added the guy I think they needed most, which was, who am I putting with Skubal?
Right.
So, look, for me, this makes this a solid B-plus offseason. And if they want to make it an A, we know what the move is. But I would love to hear from the people on this, because I think this absolutely puts you at the top of the Central. I think you got a better rotation than Cleveland. I think you got a better ball club than Cleveland. And I'm not holding this against you, but you're very lucky the rest of this division can't get it up. And whether it's Minnesota, Kansas City, Cleveland, Chicago, none of them spend. None of them. They're all cheap dirtbags. So the fact is, you finally lifted a finger, top payroll in this whole deal.
So B plus.
I think this upgrades it from a C plus to a B plus. Jack Flaherty was a borderline Cy Young candidate here. Is it risky? Absolutely. But it's 1 year.
Right, mitigated it. We're splitting hairs. I would have probably went to B, but B plus. All right. No, I like it because you know what? Finally, you always hear, well, if you make the trade and they're free agents, you could always bring them back. Well, they actually did that. They got prospects from the Dodgers. One ended up becoming your starting shortstop because Javi just kind of had to go get himself healthy for the season. You got a top prospect, like you said, and you actually brought him back. So it kind of looked like, I know it doesn't happen that often, like you won the deal over the Dodgers.
100% you did.
You rented out a player to them, and then you got that player back.
And you got a prospect who's flippable. You got a shortstop who's playable. I love it. I really do. And I think it elevates you to the top of the AL Central. Would I love to sit here and go, look, go get me Alex Bregman? Yes, here's the problem. As I have said all offseason, and I will not have my words misconstrued, I'm not offering him 5, 6, 7 years. I just can't do it. And do I have concerns about Bregman? Of course I do.
See, after what you said the other day, I would even do this short-term Pete Alonso deal.
I wish. I know, and he's got holes in this game. But they're one right-handed thunder bat.
But you know what? This team has holes. Let's just be real.
I agree with you totally.
Okay, so there's no perfect person out there, and if it is, you're not willing to spend the money to get it. So if you are going to piecemeal, you're doing a good job piecemealing. You just, as you said, need another bat.
And again, maybe it's something they address at the deadline. Maybe a young player steps forward. I'm leaving open the world of possibility because here's the deal. On a game-in, game-out basis, Rico, I truly mean this, you're going to be sending out a better pitcher and a better plan than the teams you face. And you're in the flaccid Central. Right. Let's call it what it is now. So I loved it. And clearly you guys are hyped. Woo! Kenny can barely keep up with the calls. I mean... Wow.
Because there's nothing to complain about. No. And I think it's because there's nothing to complain about. Because we would love...
Why can't you just be happy?
Because that's not how things work with people, Mike. If we were out here bashing Scott Harris, phone lines would be, oh, well, he's an idiot. He's this, he's that.
But he's never been that. I just don't think... He wants to do it a different way.
Guess what, guys? This worked. It was a win-win. The Dodgers got what they wanted out of it. And then they said, you can have him back now, Detroit, if you want.
Right, you still made the playoffs.
We got our ring. You can have him back.
And now you re-sign the player. Yeah. I believe the Tigers are the favorite in the Central with the move. Yes, I would love to see them add a bat, but I don't want to push my luck. But
no, I do. I need some certainty with Skubal. Maybe that's just me.
Good luck.
I just would like to know... You have a plan, and it's not, we'll just figure it out later. That never works.
See, but while I also want a bat, I'm excited about what the Flaherty signing does. And what it does is it pushes Olsen down in the rotation. It pushes Cobb down in the rotation.
That's right.
And now helps, and we don't have to rely on pitching chaos anymore. That's what I'm excited about, because you're right, I do want a bat. Yes, I do in the end want a bat. But I have to be excited for what we have right now, which is bringing Flaherty back is big to me.
And you know what, David? You're right. Pitching chaos can now go back to getaway Thursdays where, you know what? We're just going to kind of throw everybody out there. We're going to clean out the refrigerator and see what can happen. You give me 2 innings. You give me a couple of innings. And let's see if we can win this thing.
And I'm just going to say it. Don't take this that like, oh, you're letting the team off the hook. Guys, Bregman's not a perfect player. You have to understand, like I will yell about certain things. It's why I didn't yell about Chapman or yell about Cody Bellinger. I mean, did I want one of those guys? I would have been happy with it, sure. But these are imperfect players. So I don't want them to sign a bad deal just to make me feel better. Now, I never believe you can go into an offseason and do nothing. Well, they haven't done that. They've added things. And I would love to do it, but you got to be careful. I mean, it's a guy who, look, just one thing that scares me with Bregman, the ballpark, that's one. Mm-hmm. Two, you got to explain a 50% reduction in walk rate. How did it fall off the table? One thing Bregman's always been good about is getting you 100 walks a year. See, how did that happen?
I'm hoping that's an anomaly. I'm hoping that's a one-off. Mike, it's a legitimate gripe.
The power thing. Look, I don't think as he ages, he's going to continue hitting 28, 30 homers. This is probably a guy profiling closer to 20. So just, you got to be careful about it. Is he a pro? Does he give good at-bats? Does he know Hinch? Does he understand what winning is? All of the above.
I'm hoping that because he knew what this offseason was going to be, that maybe he bought into the fact I need to try to hit more home runs, and he was more aggressive at the plate, which is why he didn't get the walks. That once he gets his money, he'll go back to being who he was, and you'll see the walk rate go back to where water will find its level.
248-539-9797. The excitement is palpable. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I should have just opened with Luca. Has nothing to do with Detroit, but maybe it would have been a better way out.
There's no right or wrong.
I feel pretty wrong right now, I got to tell you. I was actually amped up about the Jack Flaherty thing.
As you have a right to be.
I feel like a horse's ass. I mean, what, did they sign a dead guy? Did Jack fall down the stairs signing the deal? What happened here?
Oh, dude, we had a great discussion. And we're still having a good discussion. And you know what?
Hey, here's my message to everybody. Your baseball team spent some money. Where is everybody? How's your mom? We'll get to the I'd say we'd get to the people, but
there's people. We got ticket text. We got a ton of ticket text.
The baseball team just blew $25 million on an arm. I think that's going to put him at the top of the Central. Maybe we should have opened up with Tater Tot Day. All right. We'll get to David. We'll see how his weekend was. 97.
Crispy Tater Tot. Ah.
This town.
All right.
All right, we'll get to the people momentarily. For a second there, I was starting to feel like Kanye's wife at the Grammys. What happened here?
you had on clothes.
Well, I mean, you do a topic, and I'm going, I'm pumped up with the Tigers. Did we spend some money? We're on the threshold of league average. I think we're going to win the Central. I'm happy. And all of a sudden, I'm like...
That was it. You were happy, so people didn't know how to react to that. It took them a second.
Okay.
Like, wait. He's not setting us up with a rake.
But here's the thing. Do you need Alex Bregman to be satisfied? It's your prerogative. I don't love the player enough to demand that.
I would like another bat.
The problem is they waited till there aren't many left.
I know. So now you're hoping that one of the kids comes up here and does something.
David, ticket text first. What do you got?
What this team added besides yesterday getting Jack Flaherty, it's a B+ for me. They haven't added anything other than him. I still think it's a C-.
All right, but time out. Let me say this. Okay, do I love Gleyber Torres? No. He had a very nice postseason for my team, but he's not a good defensive player. And when he's bad, he's really bad. But can he hit? Can he give you some quality ABs? Can he work counts? Yes. You can't say that's nothing. Tommy Canely. Again, do I envision him being the closer here? No. Can he get guys out in a big spot? Yes. He has limitations, but he's good.
Okay, and the reason why I like him, you can add him, mix him into the pitching chaos.
Correct.
And it just got better.
Right. So that was my point to the Alex Cobb thing, you're on your own. I think there's a lot better ways to spend $16, $17 million. But they added pieces. You can't say they did nothing. I that's not fair. Come on now. David, go ahead.
I am thrilled with this offseason, but they have to get a bat. I want Bregman. Someone else says, in all sports lately, seems like we only get guys to come here for one-year deals. We never make big signings anymore. I like Flaherty, but a one-year deal isn't something to celebrate.
Well, it's about putting it all together. And again,
you're not a championship team yet.
If Flaherty is going to get replaced next year by Jackson Jobe or by, let's say, Olsen takes another step forward. Guys, I've told you what their plan is for 18 months now. They're waiting for the kids. and they're only going to do these fillers and one-year flips. They're not good. That's why I didn't start this offseason with this, oh, my God, let's go get X. God, I was crazy enough to say maybe Christian Walker, 3 at 60. That was, like, my big idea. Rico, I've tried to be incredibly fair.
Right.
Overall, they've pieced this together where I do think you're winning the Central. And you can't really ask for much more. I mean, yeah, you want Bregman? Sure. I'd never say no to letting him in the clubhouse, but he has some things I'd be concerned about, and they have a right to be concerned.
Sad reality is you're not in that upper tier of major league teams. That's why the Dodgers can go out there and spend what they can spend, because they're sitting there saying, you know what? We're offering a championship. We're offering you a ring. Detroit's offering you a division title. A little bit of a difference.
It's true. It is.
I mean, but I know people don't want to hear that, but that's why you're not getting, oh, well, how did we not get this person? And why do they all go to these certain teams? Like, even though the Mets are spending ridiculous, they're saying, hey, we put enough people around you, we can win a title.
Here's your other problem. And Kenny could speak to this on the Red Wings side. I mean, both Illich properties don't seem to want to sign people to term. Just going by the balance sheet. David?
Flaherty is a great signing. It makes Cobb, Olsen, and Jobe, etc., the 3-4-5 starters. Big trade coming for a right-handed bat, I have to believe, power bat. That is from Carl.
Look, I think a trade, okay, if you now, this is a conversation for during the season. But if you want to have some fun, we can go around the room momentarily. If you're asking me, pay Bregman his demand of a 5-year deal at whatever this AAV is, or bleed a little bit and trade some of my cachet of prospects and trade for a right-handed bat on a much better deal and probably a younger player, I would do choice B.
Absolutely.
You would as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I would as well.
Okay.
Bregman on 5 years? No. This is one where I would need a short-term deal. Like everybody else has been signing, but on 5 years, I'd rather roll the dice, get a younger prospect, trade somebody, and see what you can get.
Mike, Rico, David, I am ecstatic about this Tiger. The Tigers getting Flaherty back. Brilliant move. What can they do at shortstop with Baez? What should they do? I'm still worried about it. David from West Bloomfield.
I think Javi Baez's contract is, what is it now? What is it, 25, 26, whatever. Basically, Javi's presence is a part of your payroll, but he's not. Look, I don't think he's going to be here.
Okay.
I think Harris left himself a lot of outs for him not to be here opening day, but you're still going to pay him.
I think what you saw was, and you saw an example of that last year at the end of the season when they kind of told him, why don't you go get yourself fixed and worked on and get your surgery done, and the team got better. I noticed it. You noticed it. You noticed it, David. I'm sure the Illich family and Chris and Scott and everybody else noticed. Hey, you notice who's not here, and we're getting better. So
I doubt
pay you, but I've often said, just because you pay somebody doesn't mean you have to play somebody.
If he's here opening day playing, it will destroy whatever credibility they've built this offseason. Yeah. You cannot put that man out there.
Yeah.
Cannot.
Son, you'll get your checks.
Let's go to Aaron, 97.1. Aaron, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I was just calling because the signing was exciting for me just because I – bought into season tickets after the playoff run and felt kind of like a sucker all off season thinking, you know, I gave the Illiches my hard-earned dollars and I wasn't seeing the Illiches spend any of their their dollars. So just gave me a little bit of hope and some faith that my investment was worth it. And I do agree with you. If Baez is out there, I look forward to booing him mercifully on opening day if he happens to find himself anywhere near Comerica Park.
No, and again, Scott Harris left himself a lot of outs to where he wouldn't be here. There are a lot of ifs, and if he does this, and we'll see about that. There is no scenario you can be a serious championship-contending ball club and have Javi Baez playing opening day. You can't do it. You can't. And I'm with Rico. Just because I paid you doesn't mean I have to play you. You got to move on.
Yeah.
Look, they're gaining credibility because they're actually spending a little bit of money here. And again, I know it's not the long-term expenditures we want, and it's not the sizzle. Guys, it's the way they run the team. You can't blame Chris for that. This is Scott Harris wanting to run a baseball team a certain way. What do you want to do?
I like the fact that they're making these short-term deals, and they're really banking on the kids. By the time all of these deals fall off, at that point, all of the young prospects that we've been waiting for, it should be their time.
Right, but the
and
key
we'll
is,
see if this actually comes to fruition.
They spent $25 million on a pitcher for this year.
Right.
Like,
right,
I give them credit for
right.
that.
Right. It's like they're not punt. See, what I like the fact that they didn't take this playoff success and just say, well, we just got lucky. They're not punting next season. They're saying, okay, let's put together enough to get back into the playoffs, see what happens. You added a couple of arms. Like I said, you add a bat, fine. And now you wait for the guys behind you. And if one catches fire, then this all looks like it works for Scott Harris. Like, look, I tried to tell you guys, I knew what I was doing.
It's not that he never didn't know what he was doing. I hate that narrative. I can't stand that narrative. No one has ever said he doesn't know what he's doing.
I'm not saying you saying
that. No, I know that. But like, it's in this town, you get attacked if you just go, you know what? I don't like that flavor of ice cream. I don't want to run a small market team. I don't want to do a bunch of flips. I don't want to wait for the kids. Like, it's okay for people to say that. I mean, Christ, it's like every, like.
But see, I think the way he's doing it now is kind of the best of both worlds. I realize I want to wait for the kids, but I'm not going
to
squander an opportunity
to make the playoffs again. Yes.
Yes.
This division can't get it up. Well, you know what? Okay. Here come the Tigers with their blue pill. Somebody's got to pop one. I mean, that's it. Then you check in on the rest of the division. Nothing. Sad hot dog. So step to the plate. You got the best payroll in the division now. Go win the damn thing. Rapping about the Jack Flaherty signing and whether you are satisfied. And I've brought a few things to the table, which is, look, I love the move. It as Rico put it, 1 out of 100 times do you trade a guy and get him back. You won the trade with the Dodgers in that you still made the playoffs. You got a guy who's going to platoon it short for you, plus a top 100 prospect. Then you get the guy back, and it's not on a 5-year, $100 million deal, because I don't think anybody wanted to pay Flaherty that. I told you last year, those reports about the Yankees and the physicals, those are real. This guy was getting injections to pitch. But 1-year deal for $25 million with an opt-out, to me, it's perfect. And it elevated the payroll to a point where, no, they're not quite league average, but at least they're not down at 25, 23.
They're not poverty.
Yeah, they're up to 17. And they spent $8 million on Tommy Kahnle. Now, you don't have to love Cobb or you don't have to love Glaber, but collectively, did they get better? Yes. And they're started. Look, the Flaherty thing is the first thing I went, you know what? Now they're serious about winning this year. Everything else to me was more wait for the kids. Flaherty's about winning now.
Yeah.
Do you need another? Do you need Bregman? I don't, because I'm not yelling about the Bregman thing, because I can totally understand the team side. There's some things in that profile where I go, oh boy. I don't know. This year, I think you'll be okay, but man, you sign a guy to a 5-year deal and he goes bad after 2.
You're looking at the Javi deal. You're looking at the tail end of Miggy. That's what you're looking at.
You got to be careful on this one. It would be amazing if they could get him on a Matt Chapman type deal with opt-outs after every season. You pray to God he pops and gets the hell out of here. But let's go to the people. We got a lot of ground to cover today. Yes, I am. We're doing this at 4 because I have a take on this Luka thing that I haven't heard on the station yet, and we got to do it. We have to. Let's go to Harrison 97.1. Harrison, what's going on?
Hey, before I get on Flaherty here, I looked at the Michigan State basketball score late last night, and I had the vision of Rico sitting in a middle seat in the back of a red eye from L.A. eating a sad piece of pizza out of his tailgate bag.
It did not happen, I promise.
He did not go to L.A.
Please tell me to do that. Okay.
No, I did not. I said if I was going to L.A., I was staying out there. And I would have stayed for the UCLA game as well. So I'm here. I didn't go.
Okay, good.
I got to eat sad pizza at home.
Well, that's probably good. Although Calipari erupt would have been kind of fun. But I'm feeling better about the Flaherty signing. My issue is that like 30% of this salary spend that the Tigers have is Baez and Kenta Maeda. So like, are they at 17th in payroll? Yeah, but they haven't locked up Scooble. I don't need them to sign Bregman, but like, I'd love to see them flip a couple of these prospects for a competent third baseman that's not, you know, a Frankenstein over there. I'm not asking for that much. Just, like, give me a little more something than this, and I'm going to be – I'm at, like, a B-plus right now.
That's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at.
I'm a B-plus. Yeah, and again, without Flaherty, it was a C, C-plus. It was just not – acceptable. Now, I mean, Harrison, do you believe they're a playoff team? Do you believe they're the favorites in the AL Central? I do.
Yeah, I'm there. The one thing is, maybe I'm greedy, but do I think that this roster can sneak, you know, a four, a best out of seven away from the Yankees?
No.
And my answer is still no.
No.
And to me, this is basically the Seattle Mariners East.
See, I don't know. Because, see, I think with Flaherty, you give yourself a shot with the Yankees. A shot. That it's not just, okay, we can bank on Schoolbowl, and then after that, we got nothing. Okay, if Flaherty can get hot, or the 1-2 matchup like that.
All right, I'll live with that rationale.
Yeah. So that's fine. I'm not saying you can, but you had no shot last year.
That's how I feel about the Dodgers. I just feel like, what's the point of any of this? Can they go play in their own league? Aren't there a group of aliens with a payroll of $500 million they can go play? Jesus. They make the Yankees feel cheap. Go to Garrett. Yes, 97.
They're called the Mets.
Garrett, what's going on, buddy?
Mike, it's been a minute, my friend. Hopefully you're doing well. You and Rico, I was envisioning, I was watching the game, MSU game on Saturday. I was envisioning they were going to cut over to Rico, dapping up Magic as he's sitting there, dapping up Gilbert's kid.
he was actually sitting with Magic Johnson. It was a real gala event. What do you make of Flaherty?
Yeah, I'm on board, man. I was kind of like you in thinking, okay, a lot of the moves didn't make sense. It still doesn't make sense to some instance, and I've wrapped my head around the fact that it's better to have pitching depth than not. I mean, because right now you have 6-7 pitchers on the rotation, if you will, if you factor in Mize. I know Brant Hurt or whatever, he's probably a minor league guy, may end up in Toledo, but you have to at least factor in what he did when he was with the Tigers. Obviously, Maeda, but I think this is what really set it off. Would I love Bregman? Sure. I'd love to, honestly, Mike, I want to throw a name out there to you, see what you like is with the baseball side of things. At third, if they can't get Bregman, I'd love to get Ryan McMahon from the Rockies. He is 30, but he's got 2 years left before he hits free agency. He's on a cheap contract, decent glove. He might only hit you 20 bombs and maybe 75 ribbies, but decent bat, can pick it at third. And
he's their type of
be
player.
Somebody to look at.
No, he's their type of player. I mean, look, Garrett, you're looking at it through the appropriate lens if you're trying to be accurate, which is they believe they can moneyball their way to doing this. That's their type of guy. So
I think that's still my only concern is that, sure, I'm happy with Schoolbowl, I'm happy with Flaherty, and I'm happy with Reese Olson if he can find magic in a bottle again, right? If he can find those 3 months what he had last year. Jackson Jobe should be on the roster, but he still has to earn it. But it's like outside of those – for the number five pitching spot, like, I'm not excited about any of that, and I'm not supposed to be, but it's like, I kind of want to see Scott Harris and his team do, you know, use some of those pieces to maybe make either a minor move to make a bat if they do sign Bregman, or if they don't sign Bregman, go out, get two bats of some of those pitchers and maybe a prospect you got.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'd be at a B with you, Mike. I would be, and I think that's where I'm at, but I'm also, this has me reinvested in this team again. It really does.
Yeah, I think this is the separator. If they didn't bring in a Flaherty or bring in an Alonso or bring in a Bregman, one of those names we talked about last week, I was all out. I mean, I'm bored by it. Don't waste our time. But by doing this, I do think it you walk through that threshold of unserious to serious, at least about winning your division, at least about keeping the momentum of last year going. And to what Rico said, guys, I think there's a lot of value in what you said. If you go into any playoff series and you got Schoolbowl and Flaherty, and it's the best of the best, you absolutely can believe in your heart you could go up 2-0 in a series. Mm-hmm. I will say yes.
A 5-game series, you're golden. A 7-game series, you have a shot.
You do. You do. Now again, if it goes, you know, bleep up.
Without having to rely on pitching chaos to bail you out and win 3 of these games.
That's nonsense. But if Flaherty gets hurt, it's the risk. There's a reason he's still available. There's a reason he didn't get 8 at 220 like Max Fried. Like, there's a reason he's sitting here. There's a reason Jack Flaherty said, I think, what, 10 days ago, why does nobody love me?
Hey, but here's the thing. But he has a history working here with Fetter.
Yes.
That, you know what? Maybe he can come back here and it'll just keep working.
Let's go to Max and then we're moving on. Max, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? I like the Flaherty thing. I do. As far as Brock Manning, I could take it or leave it. And then I'm going to go to the home opener this year. If Baez is playing in the home opener, I feel like there should be someone at the gate just giving everybody the finger and saying F you, and that's how it's going to go. Like, that's what I expect if I see Baez playing the home opener.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that, and I don't have a problem saying it. Like, yeah, the Baez thing would send a god-awful message to this fan base.
They can't buy him out because they spent all their money building the secret society seating behind home plate. So.
No, you just listen. The bottom line is you can do all of it, but I'm with Rico. You can just pay the guy to stay away.
Yeah.
You don't play him.
You Allen Iverson him. There's your money. Do what you want. Just don't show up to the park.
Oh, I was going to say
no.
What?
No.
All right.
No. I already knew where you were going with that.
David, I just got scolded.
No, you didn't.
I say yes.
No, you didn't.
We will get a football today. Next. All right. Let's wet the whistle a little bit, shall we? Like Kenny at a dive bar. It's time for football today.
All right, Mike. David, let's have some fun. It's Super Bowl week. So I found this article. It's a ranking of current NFL quarterbacks who have not won a Super Bowl. But we're going to rank them.
Okay, so the guys without a ring.
Guys without a ring, but we're going to rank them from 13 to 1. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
At 13, it's Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville, a lot of injuries, a lot of potential. Duval.
That weirdo is going to be his saving grace. Yeah, I'm good with it, but this is bleeper, get off the pot. Liam Cohen, Dave Canales started it with Baker. Liam Cohen continued it. If Liam Cohen has that effect on Trevor Lawrence, he'll be up to 6 or 7 on this list next year. It's now or never, though. Enough's enough.
It's because they have to do so much around him to build that franchise up. So, yeah, I agree. 13th.
All right. Let's move to the NFC South. We're going to go with Baker Mayfield, Tampa.
I think it's a little low. Listen, Baker has not been on really good teams. Yes, Mike Evans is a real blessing, but when you look at the rest of what Tampa Bay has, the fact that he walked in as an alleged bridge quarterback, he's led them to back-to-back playoffs, he's led them to playoff wins, and he has it all on him. I think this is a little low for me. Plus, he has now gone into a franchise, and the entire franchise has rallied around him. The off-the-field personality that some of these guys don't possess. I think he's I'll regret saying this when Rico does receipts in 2027.
Where's the stylus?
He's a franchise quarterback. And I think he's...
That's not receipts, Mike. That's... You know what? If anybody who gets upset with what you just said, you're a hypocrite in this town because the same thing happened with a certain quarterback who's here.
Ah. Aha.
Went to a different place, and all of a sudden... Football started working for him. Go ahead, David.
I understand what you're saying, Mike. I understand what you're saying, Rico. But I'm looking at the roster around him, and his number one weapon is old. He's getting long in the tooth. And that's the concern when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker's great, but when the roster is getting old around you, that's a problem.
Okay. At number 11, Green Bay Packer quarterback Jordan Love.
Similar to Lawrence, next year's a huge year. Now, I think this year got sideswiped by injury, right? Opening week, MCL comes back, blows out his groin. I'll chalk it up, move on. But next year, I think he'll be a lot higher on this list. But he's got to tighten up some of the mechanics. The throwing off the back foot for no reason drives me insane.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFL shouldn't send a team to Brazil, and maybe the footing would have been just fine. But I agree with everything Mike said. That's all I have to say is Brazil.
All right, then, David, I'll let you start this one then. At number 10, Justin Herbert.
That was a ghastly finish to the season.
Go ahead.
Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. What they've done is they try to limit his mistakes now. It's now a run-first offense. And I think seeing what they've done, building that offensive line to help him, they need defense, though, for that roster to take the next step. I still think they take a next step this year, though. Yeah. Justin Herbert's really good.
Maybe they get defense. They jump into Myles Garrett.
I think they get DK Metcalf and Colston Loveland. That's what I think they get. And you know that little gym rat lad McConkey's going to turn into, you know, modern Pro Bowl like Danny Amendola or something ridiculous. Some
play
annoying player.
Yep.
You got to compare him with another white wide receiver, man.
Okay, fair. Wandell Robinson, undersized but tries hard. I don't know.
Tyreek Hill. All right.
Definitely not.
At number 9, Texans quarterback CJ Stroud.
Wow, they really dinged him for the second-year slump, huh?
They really did. He has to take a huge jump in year 3. They found out what he was on tape, and they blitzed him a ton this season. He has to get better.
Yeah, but O-line was bad. Nico was hurt. Woods died. Or not Robert Woods. What am I saying? Numbnuts. Steph Diggs died.
Oh, yeah.
Tank Dell's leg is in 7 pieces. The O-line sucks.
And basically the knock on him is he's reached the divisional round in both seasons, but he can't get past that.
Well, the Texans, period, can't get past it.
Oh, wait just one effing minute. Lamar Jackson's been in the league for 7-8 years. This kid's been in the league for 2.
Take Lamar Jackson has made the championship game.
Did he?
Win an MVP or two.
Oh, I'm making a point. The kid's in his second year. Don't start that narrative.
Okay.
The Texans can't get past the division around. That's not C.J. Stroud. That's
more than your Steelers can do.
You know what? Keep this same energy because at number 8 is Brock Purdy.
It's probably an appropriate rating. He's played big in big games. He's had more success than the guys beneath him on the list. I don't have to like him, but the reality is he may have gone to 2 Super Bowls if he didn't blow his elbow out in the championship game in Philly. Hate to see it. No, but yeah, it's probably fair, okay? There, no slander. I'm in a good mood.
All I have to say about Brock Purdy is see what he is when he loses a few of his weapons. See what
he did this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they still were in games.
Were they?
Well, he didn't kick the field goals. He didn't miss the field goals, David.
Oh, so you want to blame the Michigan kicker on your season.
See, yes. This is what David does when he's doing marital counseling with people. This is how he judges them.
Right.
They come in the room, oh, really?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's all your fault.
He wasn't on the
what
defense
about you?
That lost 5 games in the final 2 minutes. So, all right, at number 7,
yes,
Jaden Daniels.
I'm fine with it because it's a 1-year sample size. I mean, he could be number 1 on the list from ability, projection, but from actual data, resume, it's probably appropriate to keep him right in the median, like right in the middle. But I could make a case he's number 1.
I agree with you, Mike. We'll see what happens next season, but he can go either way.
The only way I'll be upset, if he has Caleb ahead of him on this list, I'm going to have a problem.
Well, I think he probably is.
Can't be.
At number 6, we have Dak Prescott.
Oh,
get out.
Come on.
If this is a top 13, he'd be 14th. No respect for Dak. Also, terrible soup commercials. I'm out.
No, thank you on Dak. I'm good on him.
I'm out. I'm not kidding. I'm not even being like slanderous about it. I don't like him over any of the players you just listed, maybe with the exception of Trevor Lawrence.
Because I'm glad Lawrence Dallas has been stuck with him.
Bitterly disappointing.
Okay. At number 5, Jared Goff. The MVP of the Pro Bowl.
Okay. Ready?
For those who watched.
Too high on the list. He should be down by Purdy. That was a total dud that he laid this year in the playoffs. I'd probably have him around 7 or 8. Go ahead. You guys can yell at me.
I still think
he's good. I'm happy he's the Lions quarterback.
Dude, he won the Pro Bowl competition 7-on-7.
Woo! I would swap him out with Jaden Daniels. I just would.
There you go.
I'm at 7.
Yeah, right in the middle.
At number 4, here's where it's going to get interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
Joe Burrow.
I mean, I have no problem with him being in the top 4. I got to hear who the top 3 are, but he's already been to a Super Bowl. He's one of the only people who can beat Mahomes in Arrowhead. And he had that team a whisker away from the playoffs this year after catching fire and carrying them. Last year getting hurt with the wrist thing. I don't know. I'm good with it. I love Joe Cool.
Yeah, I'm fine with him at 4. I probably would have him higher. I guess they're putting him at four because of the question mark of losing T. Higgins and what does the offense change and look like without it. But, I mean, he should be number one for me.
Well, that's what I said. Because at number three, and this guy has a chance to right a wrong, is Jalen Hurts.
I'll live with it. He's in his second Super Bowl. I understand he's with one of the preeminent organizations in the league, and Howie Roseman is an evil genius. I don't think he's better than the players behind him, though. If that's like, I can say he's not bad,
right?
But if I have a chance at Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow, I'm taking Burrow. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's a little high on the list. I'd probably drop him down to five.
Okay.
Yeah, Burrow will be over him.
At number two,
Josh Allen.
He pooped his pants in Kansas City, man. I thought he'd grown out of it, but he was nervous at the start of the game, and he bleeped himself at the end. I'll live with it because I don't feel like getting into a fight, but there are a couple guys. Like, I'd put Burrow ahead of him because he's actually done it.
Well, like I said, Burrow at four was a little controversial because at number one,
Lamar
is Lamar Jackson.
I'd have him down at five. We're done here.
See, I can't have anyone ahead of Burrow when Burrow has actually beaten Mahomes. They have not.
I'd put Lamar right around Purdy, where I'm at with him.
Three-time MVP?
That pick, that fumble, terrible throw to Mark Andrews.
Just going to let him off the hook.
I'm done with him. I've had it.
Jesus.
But I like the list. But I'm with David. I think making a Super Bowl, you got to bump Burrow to one. I think Goff's a little overrated. I think Dak shouldn't be on the list. DQ. DQ. DP. Right. CD. Coach's decision.
Current ranking of current quarterbacks that haven't won a Super Bowl, 97-1.